Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, come with us tonight, be with us, help us to understand Jesus and believe in Him. We pray that You would keep us in all the truth that You gave to the disciples who were the witnesses of Christ for us until the end of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and if you wish, you might want to open your pew Bibles up to John chapter 16, beginning at verse 12. I'd like to go through those verses carefully tonight. A number of years ago, I was driving through the city of Chicago in a moving van. My wife was driving in our car behind us. She was 8 months pregnant. And in downtown Chicago, I got off on a wrong road, and somehow by God's grace, I was able, and she was able also, to get back on the right road after winding around through some of those side streets back to our destination in Wisconsin. Last Saturday, I wasn't with you because I was in Chicago again with a moving van, moving my daughter up to Chicago where she starts a new job in June. But this time, I deliberately took the side streets of Chicago to avoid some of the traffic on the major roads as we were leaving. But I did it because we have this little device called a cell phone with navigational helps. It did take me through some rough neighborhoods. I went right past Cook County Jail. It was a little challenging, but we made it as long as we were following the directions carefully. Tonight, I'd like you to think about how God navigates for us, how the Holy Spirit is given to us by God to lead us through the side streets of this world. We live in a physically beautiful world, a world that follows the laws of nature and of nature's God without fail. And yet, from the human point of view, there's a mixture, a spiritual mixture of good and evil. There's a presence in the world that wants to pull people away from God. And that is why God deliberately sent His Son into this world to bring us back to God again, to rescue us and to rescue those who would be rescued by His blood and His suffering and His death and His righteousness and His innocence, to destroy that power of lies and of evil. The Holy Spirit is also then given to us to lead us through the labyrinth of all of the trials and temptations and difficulties of this world. We heard in the gospel lesson not long ago, Jesus saying to the disciples simply these two words, "Follow me." Tonight in John 16, we go back to the upper room, Jesus celebrating the Lord's Supper with His disciples and giving them some really important teachings, especially in regard to the things they would need to believe and the things they would need to have as they would go on with their lives without His physical presence after His ascension to the right hand of God. We begin in chapter 16 and verse 12, where Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." In His 3-year earthly ministry, Jesus didn't teach everything that we Christians need to hear and believe. And there's a couple of good reasons for that. First of all, we need to realize that in Jesus' life, teaching was a part of what He did. Never forget that Jesus also was doing the will of God Himself. And so He was living His life perfectly according to the law, and He was laying down His life as a sacrifice for our sins. And so teaching is very important in Jesus' ministry, but so is His doing. And it's that doing also that tells us why some of the teachings needed to come after the resurrection. For example, in our first lesson today from Acts chapter 11, Peter is taught that the law of Moses has been fulfilled by Jesus, and that as Christians and Jews, they did not necessarily need to follow all of those identity laws that Moses had given. Their identity now was in the Messiah himself and in Jesus. That teaching is important, and yet it's better understood by Peter and the rest of the disciples after Jesus' resurrection. So there are many things, Jesus says, that these disciples would learn even after Jesus died and rose and ascended. Going on to verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. This is something we see clearly in the teachings of the apostles after the resurrection of Jesus. Everything they say, they assure us, is God's word, that it is God's truth. Peter said, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." John the apostle uses the word truth 50 times in his gospels and in his three letters. Paul wrote, "We thank God continually that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." This is the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. This is God's word. This is God's truth. Don't let anyone ever try to drive a wedge between Jesus and his disciples. For what Jesus taught was the truth, and what Jesus commissioned his disciples to teach is equally the truth as well. It in fact is all the truth, the whole truth. Verses 14 and 15. He will glorify me, this is the Holy Spirit, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Do you detect in those verses the teaching of the Trinity? Sometimes we wish that this doctrine of the Trinity might be more prominent, that even the word Trinity itself is not used in the Bible. But it is really all over the place in the Bible, and sometimes it sneaks up on you and you don't even notice it. But Jesus is speaking here about himself as the Son of God. He's speaking about the Father, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. All of them are referred to as God. All of them are doing the things that only God can do. And that's why we draw the conclusion that the God of the Bible is a God of three persons, a Father, of Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's so important because only this God can be the God of salvation, the God who not only gives the law, but sends his Son to live under the law and to be a sacrifice for those of us all who could not keep the law. Jesus tells them that he will be physically absent from them. There will be difficulties when that happens, but he assures them not to be afraid. He will send his Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them. Going on to verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. The rejection of Jesus, which we see all over in the Gospels, which ultimately we see in the cross itself, continued after Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his disciples and continues down to this day. The world still, most of it, rejects the God who sent his Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. The world destroys itself in its rejection of God, and we destroy ourselves also when we sometimes turn away from the Lord. Lust is not love. It doesn't satisfy. It makes us thirstier and weaker. Pride triggers rage. Envy turns a healthy desire into a craving and a hatred for those who have what we do not have. Slothfulness deceives us into thinking that good things will just happen by themselves without any work or effort needed. And yet we know that in the end, living that way causes all things to fall apart. Spiritual disease of sin grows and spreads the more God is out of our minds and out of our hearts. We begin to follow our own feelings rather than the faith that God has given to us through His Word. But the saddest thing of all, Jesus stresses, you will be sorrowful. The saddest thing of all is that the world then turns and blames all of the problems of the world upon God Himself and upon the Bible itself. Isaiah warns us of this in the 5th chapter. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. The world rejoices in its clever arguments that the universe is an accident, that worship is a waste of time, that marriage is unnecessary, that life is ours to do or to undo whatever we want, and that truth is really your personal feeling rather than the concrete will of God. The saddest thing of all is to see that there are people, good people, people who used to follow Christ, who are being drawn into that sad and tragic whirlpool. Worship attendance in the United States is dropping precipitously. Sunday school in the United States is virtually gone. We are one of the few churches that still maintains an actual Sunday school on Sunday mornings. And saddest of all is that the churches that are still surviving are often replacing theology with therapy. Rather than railing against the evil of sin, they speak about the mistakes that we make in life. Mistakes that we can overcome with God's help as long as we are a little bit more committed to Him. That, indeed, is the saddest thing of all. Not just a declining church, but a deforming church as well. Jesus warned us of this. He said, you will be sorrowful. But He also said this, your sorrow will turn to joy. He compares it to a woman who gives birth, where the sweat and blood of childbirth turn into the tears of joy of new life. Peter said, this is the way the Word of God works. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the Word of our God stands forever. Out of the ashes of sin, God promises that the sprouts of faith will rise. Childbirth is a joy for all. And Jesus says, you will see me again. And so, dear Christians, His word to these disciples is the same word to us as well today. Hold on to the truth. Believe in the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit through God's word. No matter how strong the rejection of the world may be around us, it was just as strong that night when Jesus met with His disciples in the upper room. And out of that sad experience came the resurrection. And out of our sad experiences in this world will also come the second coming of Christ Himself. This is what these disciples were called to do. This is what we, disciples of Jesus as well today, are called to do. And God will help us. In His name, amen.